Today, as we come to the table,
just by accident, I became a leader. I remember going, Lord, somehow you did that. It's all by accident. But here I am, and I still don't really know what I'm doing. And if I ever try to lead, if I ever say, now, if I try to be the leader, when I step out, I'm going to be the leader now, it seems like the wheel starts wobbling on my spiritual car. Because I can't, it didn't happen naturally. So if that ever comes, I'm like, no, get focused. Follow. Lord, I'm zooming in right on you. I'm right here behind you. Let's go. Like a duck, you know, just right there with his dad. If you learn to do that, you'll be a leader. A leader is a great follower.
As Pastor Mark will point out in today's message, there was a time when God spoke to only a select number of people, called prophets. These people weren't perfect, but they had dedicated themselves to listening and obeying God as He spoke to them through Scripture and supernatural revelations. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Today, we no longer need to depend on a few people to receive the truth of God and interpret it for us. God has given us a great gift in His Holy Spirit. That Spirit speaks directly to us and confirms the message of the gospel while helping us interpret and apply it to our lives in this fallen world. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Galatians chapter 1 as he continues his message, Paul's testimony and credentials.
God specifically pulled Paul aside. We're going to see that Paul didn't even meet the apostles until years later. They didn't teach him this. The Lord taught him personally. It wasn't until years later that he even met them. But what we're going to find out with Paul was is that what God showed him, what Jesus taught him, lined up exactly with what the disciples knew and what they were teaching. Why? Same Spirit. Same God. Now, there'll be some that may come along, and they have come along since Jesus. And they say they've received a revelation from heaven. Sometimes you'll see them on TV or hear them on the radio, and they give some new gospel or something new about it that they say is from God, and they try to claim the same authority that Paul had, and you think, wow, well, if they heard straight from heaven, maybe I should listen to them. But if it doesn't line up with the rest of God's word, like Paul's vision and word lined up with the rest of God's word, it's not from God. A few years back, a very well-known TV evangelist said that God had revealed to him there were 9 persons of the Holy Spirit. Of the Trinity, 9 persons of the Trinity. No, the Bible says there's only 3. So what does that tell me? You can tell me all day that God came to you in a vision and showed you that, but you're lying. You're a liar. Because the Bible tells me there's only 3, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if we don't have the ability to know that and the courage to call it out, that's when cults get started. That's when people get deceived. And so Paul, again, is very fiery about this because, you know, he's saying these guys are bringing stuff to you that's not from the Word of God. They're adding things to it. Their word doesn't line up. My word lines up with what the other said, showing its veracity and its truth. Their word does not. And, you know, the Scripture and Bible says that prophecy are of no private interpretation. Note that. Which means we can't just come up with something that we want or something new that nobody else understands in the church. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21 says this. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Let that sink in. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. As you guys know, I'm a prophecy buff. I love prophecy. And by the way, you need to love prophecy too. Not just because I do, but about a third of the Bible is prophecy. And for those who tell you today, well, we don't need prophecy. We don't need that. Well, then they're taking a third of their Bible and saying, we don't need a third of the Bible. How many of you in this room don't need a third of the Bible? Look, the Bible's, I need all thirds. I need more than a third. I need beyond the thirds of the Bible so that I can walk right with God. And I'm joking. Obviously, there's nothing beyond that. But the point is, I want everything God has for me. And I need everything God has for me. And yet when it comes to expounding on prophecy, I don't have the right or the privilege or the authority to say, now I know God's word doesn't say this, but God showed me something new. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Because no prophecy is a private interpretation. When God speaks to his church, he speaks to his church as a whole. Now, I know that not all of his church hears it because oftentimes there's a fleshly element of the church that's not in tune with the Spirit. But the majority of God's church will hear it. God will speak to his church, and you'll see worldwide the Lord will speak to his church and he'll let his church know what's going on. The Bible says, God said this, I do nothing without first revealing it to my prophets. And although we don't have official ancient biblical prophets, we have those of us that teach the word of God, and the Spirit lives in you, so God speaks to you. You're all prophets in the sense of God's Spirit's within you. And what he's saying is no, we don't understand everything. We may not be so sensitive to the Spirit that we hear everything God is saying, but if God is speaking to his church, he's going to speak to his church as a whole. There's not going to be a small group over here in a corner going, we've received something that no one else has received. And you know what? It's even in addition to the Bible. This is a new prophecy. And we have understanding that nobody else has or understands. That's called a cult. Dangerous. And so Paul here is saying, you know what? This comes through revelation of Christ. He gave it to me. And again, we see that it lines up with the rest of God's word, or else it wouldn't be legitimate. Look at verse 13. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure. And I emphasize that because Paul did in his heart. And I tried to destroy it. Notice all the Jews and Christians knew of Paul's reputation in Judaism and the law because he was a famous zealot for Judaism. He called himself a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Notice if anybody's going to follow Judaism, it's Paul, right? He's the guy going for it. Radical among radicals might be a way to put it. And the thing is that even as he was a radical among radicals for the Jews, he also became a radical among radicals for the Christians, which is a great thing. So if you have that kind of personality, it's good when it switches over. But when it's in the wrong place, it's bad. And Paul is saying, if there was anybody in the wrong place and doing it vehemently, it was me. And notice he says he not only persecuted the church, but he did so beyond measure. It means he went overboard, over the top in his persecution of Christians. He was chasing them everywhere, yanking them out of their homes, it tells us in other places, having them put to death. Paul was going to Damascus to chase believers down when God knocked him off of his horse and saved him. And this guy, he wasn't even content to say, you know what? There's not even going to be any Christian teaching in my town. I'm going to go to other towns and try to stop this from happening. And so he had this kind of zeal for the enemy, if you will, rather than zeal for God. And notice he says here he tried to destroy the church, but obviously he was not able to do so. Why? Because the Bible tells us that even the gates of hell will not prevail. So I tried to, but I couldn't. And notice he goes on talking about his credentials. Look at verse 14. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Again, the Jews and their traditions. They didn't just have the Torah. They also had all their oral traditions and all their writings, you know, the Midrash and these kind of things. And so he's talking, I was excelling in all of those. Notice that. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I didn't immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. We'll see next week, he says, and you can read it there in verse 18 if you want, he went 3 years into the desert, 3 years into the wilderness to learn from God personally from the Lord before he even met the apostles. So he's completely demolishing the argument that he had learned it from other men and was simply passing on what his denomination or non-denomination taught. He's saying, this is what the word of God teaches. This is what I'm standing on. He says he was separated. Notice here, I love this because this is the same is true for us. He says he was separated from his mother's womb, that is chosen from birth to do what God called him to do. But he also notes that God didn't reveal himself until the time that it pleased God. Isn't that interesting? You wonder, why didn't it please God sooner to reveal himself to Paul? I don't know why, but God chooses to reveal himself to us when he chooses to do it. Some of you got saved early on. Some of you got saved way late. I was sharing, I got saved when I was 25 years old. And I remember thinking, Lord, why didn't you save me sooner? I'm not complaining. I'm sure it was my fault. But why didn't you reveal yourself to me before I was 25? I mean, I just feel like if I could have walked with God when I was younger, I'd be so much farther down the road, and I wouldn't have messed my life up in so many ways. And I talked to someone right after the service who didn't get saved till they were 47. Some of you may have gotten saved even later than that. You have your own testimony. Why does God wait? I don't know. Some of it may be us and stubbornness of heart, not letting God work, but I do believe that God uses our past experiences for what he's calling us to do as well. And that is, God knows that he doesn't agree with our sin. He doesn't want us to be in sin. He doesn't approve of our sin. But God grabs us at a certain time out of that sin and goes, I'm going to use all those experiences that you've been through and use them for my glory. See, when he grabbed Paul, Paul had been grown up a Jew and was a Hebrew of Hebrews, but he also lived in a Gentile town, Antioch, and he grew up a Roman. So Paul had the unique position of knowing the Jewish culture and knowing the Roman or Gentile culture. That is basically the two cultures of the world in that day. He knew them. And so he was able to reach both people on both sides because God prepared him for that. And calling him to reach the world, he needed to be able to do that. So God waited, rescued him at the right time, and used all of his past experiences. I look at my life. I don't know why God allowed me to do all these horrible things. And I'm not blaming God. That's my fault that I did them. But now I can associate with the drug, the person that's messed up in drugs. I can associate with the drunk. I can associate with people that believe things that are against God and maybe even stand vehemently in political positions against the word of God. I can understand it because I was there. I know that. And I don't like it. But the reality is when somebody walks up here and says, hey, look, I've got this background. I'm dealing with this situation. I can say, God can set you free. Do you believe that? Well, no, I don't know. I mean, you know, they say once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Really? Really? God set me free. What about you? Do you believe God has the power to do it? And let's pray right now because God has the power to set you free. See, God allows the experiences in your life that you've been through, he allows them so that when the time is right and he rescues you and opens your eyes, you can say to all the people that have been through the same struggles you've been through, I'm a testimony that you can be free of this. I've seen God's power on a personal level. I want you to know about it. You can be free too. There's a confidence in that. There's an encouragement in that. There's a power in that. And that's the power of the testimony. And so God knows. Again, notice here Paul said he knew before he was born. He separated him from the womb and he waited till his exact time to reveal him. He knew the moment he would be revealed. He knew exactly what his call would be. And this is exciting to me because the Bible says that God numbers all of our days, which means it's not just Paul that he did this for. He did that for you. You have been separated from the womb to serve God if you're a believer. Think about that for a moment. He's numbered your days. He knows what he called you to do. The new baby, look at my new baby, I'm so excited. I mean, he's just focused on the baby. And God's going, here's your call, and here's what you're going to do. Because God knows in advance, God's already set it out in advance. That's what Paul is saying, and he's done that for us. It gives our life meaning. It gives our life purpose far beyond anything that we could ever come up with. But here's the thing. If we reject the call or if we're lazy, we can miss it. Mark, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. Listen. The bottom line is that God has called you to do something for his kingdom, but if you chase after the world, you're not going to learn what it is God has called you to do. God spent years training Paul to get ready because Paul sought God, put everything aside and said, God, I'm going to seek you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And God poured into Saul those 3 years, got him saved, renamed him Paul, sent him out into the mission field, and used him not only to plant churches all over the world, but to write a big portion of the New Testament. And my point is simply this, are you working with the Lord to find out what your call is? Maybe you're going, I don't know what I'm called to do. I know that some of you are because I hear that all the time. When I talk about fulfilling your call, there's so many of us, I don't know what I'm called to do. Look, you just serve where you are. You bloom where you're planted. God will reveal your call. But oftentimes I think we can delay God's revealing of what he's called us to do because we first have to be prepared for that call. We'll see next week, he goes 3 years into the wilderness to be prepared for that call. And then God says, now go and do this. But oftentimes I think we delay the call of God because we don't spend the time with God to find out what that call is. What is your priority? Have you prioritized God in your life so you can spend time with God for that call you have in your life? But Mark, you don't understand. I'm so busy. I don't have time. I mean, et cetera. I mean, they work me to death. Listen, I encourage you. Pray about your priorities. Pray about your work. Pray about your hours. Pray that God moves in the heart of your boss. Pray that if you have a job that's got you so busy you don't have time to invest in God or your family, pray maybe that God will lead you to a new job. Because that's nothing more than just getting so busy in life that we not only miss God, we're missing what our call is in God. God's called you to serve him first and foremost. Yes, you're to serve in whatever you're called, whatever you're gifted. There's nothing wrong in your job doing what you're doing. The Bible says, serve the Lord where you are. But remember, the point is that you might be used by God to bring him glory. Are you letting God do that? Are you spending the time with God to allow him to do that? And notice Paul says it's by God's grace. I didn't do it. He says it's through God's grace, not the law. Again, attacking this whole idea that we need to get back to the law, saying it's not something we've earned. It's something we've responded to. And so God says what he revealed to him in his call was, he was, although a master of Judaism and excelling among the Jews, he was supposed to preach to the Gentiles. Now grasp that. It's like the very thing that Paul was most trained for, God says, now you're not going to do that, you're going to do this. Note this, God may call you into something that is not your natural training, so to speak. He may call you into a whole different area. It's because God wants to get the glory. Your training in the Word is what matters, not necessarily your training in the world. And you might think, well, you know what? I work in this area, so God's going to use me in that area. He might, but he may not. He may call you to something completely different. God oftentimes puts us in a discomfort zone so that we can learn to trust him and depend on him. Personal testimony, I am not a natural leader. I never have been. You guys know me if you've been coming any length of time. I'm number four of four. And when you're number four of four, I know you're tired of hearing me say this, you do what you're told or you get punched, at least in my family. And I learned to follow. And I feel comfortable in that place. I remember when God revealed I was called into the ministry. I was an assistant pastor. I liked it. Because first of all the main stuff falls on him. If there's a problem, it's like, hey, man, I'll pray for you. You know, I know that's a tough one, man. You know. Not everybody's leaving, I'm staying. You know, I have to, I'm on staff. But anyway, and I said, I'll be your best cheerleader. I'll encourage you. It was a very comfortable place to be because I'm used to it. I'm naturally a follower. I am not a natural leader. It has not come natural. And I remember God saying, now I've called you to go, Mark, and lead. And I'm like, you got to be kidding. Lord, why would you call me into something that is so unnatural to me? It's natural for me to be an assistant. Let me be a great assistant somewhere. And I didn't fight with him about it. I'm just saying some of the thoughts that run through your mind because I knew what I was called to do. I knew God was calling me to do it. He made it very clear. But as I analyze it, over the years have gone by, I realized why God did it, because God said, I want you to learn to be completely dependent on me. I'll be the leader. You just follow me. By the way, for those of you who say, I'm not a natural leader, I could never lead. I'm not either. But here's how God helped me to learn to do it. And I can do this. I can do this and you can do it. And what will happen is you'll become a leader and you won't even know it. It just happens. Here's what he spoke to my heart. He said, you just follow me as closely as you can. Don't worry about leading anybody. Just follow me as closely as you can, and people will recognize it and go, I want to go where that guy's going. I want to go where she's going. I want to do what they're doing. And just by accident, I became a leader. And we're going, Lord, somehow you did that. It's all by accident. But here I am. And I still don't really know what I'm doing. And if I ever try to lead, if I ever say, now, if I try to be the leader, and when I step out, I'm going to be the leader now, it seems like the wheel starts wobbling on my spiritual car. Because it didn't happen naturally. So if that ever comes, I'm like, okay, no, get focused. Follow, 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 follow. Lord, I'm zooming in right on you. I'm right here behind you. Let's go. Like a duck, you know, just right there with his dad. If you learn to do that, you'll be a leader. A leader is a great follower. And so anybody can lead if they learn how to follow. And so Paul here, though, you think that he would send him to the Jews. Go to the Jews. That's your gift. That's your call. No, instead, I'm going to send you to Gentiles. All your training was for the Jews, but go to the Gentiles. That's where you're going to be. And so he didn't immediately go. Notice he says he went into the desert, the wilderness of Arabia, to spend time with God before he got there. And again, we're going to see next week, and again, we are kind of peaked at verse 18. He was there 3 years. Getting trained by the Lord. This is the same pattern that God used with Moses when he sent him to the wilderness, Elijah when he sent him to the wilderness, and John the Baptist when he sent him to the wilderness. And this is my point. I've already kind of touched on this, and that is this. God will set us aside for a training time before he can reveal our full call to us. Yes, you can serve wherever. You can start serving physically. You can start serving even in spiritual ways. But to find out what your purpose in life is, you first have to spend some time in the wilderness with the Lord. He follows the same pattern. It doesn't mean you literally run out in the wilderness. What it means is set aside time to seek God. Listen to Bible teaching on the radio. Listen to teachers, you know, by the internet. Have it on in your car. Be in church on Sunday. Be in church on Sunday night. Be in church on Wednesday. Let God pour into you. Be in a small group. Do whatever. Let God train you. This is where the training takes place. But if you're just living your own life without the training, you may never, ever understand your full call in God because you never gave God time to train you. Listen, no warrior is sent into battle without first being trained. And if you do send a warrior into battle without first being trained, he's going to be the first ones to take a bullet. Because you've got to understand, this is how this works. There's danger out there. There's a way things are done. There's a way things are not done. And you've got to follow the right way if you're going to do this. So you've got to set aside that time. But God puts us in that place of spending time and training so that we'll be ready to go. And again, as I said, God still does that today so that we can respond to him and then we can find out what it is after we've grown that God wants us to do. And so if you're still wondering and waiting, God, what is it you've called me to do? I have a challenge for you. Reprioritize. Say, all right, God, I'm going to reprioritize. I'm going to start spending time in your word. I'm going to start listening to teachings. I'm going to start being faithful to be in fellowship. And maybe you're already doing all that. If so, you're in your training time right now. You're in that camp. You're being trained. And you don't have to know what it is you're called to do yet. Paul didn't know what he was called to do. God took him out in the wilderness and trained him 3 years. All Paul knew was that he was called to go out and spread the gospel. He didn't know specifically what he was called to do until later. And so don't worry about that so much. You make your focus. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. The problem is many of us don't seek first the kingdom of God. Maybe we're too busy, and again, not making that priority in our life that needs to be there. We need to make it a priority. And so that's where I want to leave us in our meditation, our focus today. And that is this. What is your priority, and are you allowing the Lord to train you for what he has called you from the womb to do? There's something. Are you missing it? I'm afraid maybe I am. Well, if you're not seeking God to be trained, you probably are. And you may never know what God had lined up for you. But if you say, Lord, I want to know what it is you've called from the womb for me to do. There's a purpose for my life. I'm not just here. I'm not just a number. There's a purpose. And there's a reason. And it's got to be greater than what I'm thinking. So, Lord, what is it? He said, all right, you spend time with me. Pull aside. Get alone. Hear my voice. Let me train you. Make sure it lines up with my word. And the right time, I'll do it. And God just does it. You know, I even the call into being a pastor, I didn't, you know, when God began to reveal to me, I didn't know. God revealed it to other people before he told me. I remember my pastor coming to me and saying, what do you think God's called you to do? I said, I have no clue. At that time, I was just serving him, and I wasn't even a pastor. I wasn't even, I was just basically, I was on staff. I think I was on staff at that time, and they gave me a title, staff aide, right? That was my title. He said, I want to make sure you don't think you're about something. So you're staff aide. I said, I sound like a condition. I don't know if you. And I was like, that's all right. I'll be staff aide. That's fine. And that's all I'll do. I'll run around, whatever you want me to do. I'll take the mail. I'll paint a wall. Whatever you want, I'll do it. That's fine. And he said to me, well, what do you think? What do you think God's called? I said, I really don't know. And he said, you know what? God, you've got pastor written all over you. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I can't be a pastor. I don't know how to do that. And even if you teach me how to do it, okay, here's what a pastor does. Step one, good morning, welcome to Calvary Chapel, or whatever a pastor does. I'm just Mark. And I've just really been little Marky my whole life. Because I was the youngest of the family and all the cousins. There's little Marky. That's who I was my whole life. That's 40 years old. Hey, little Marky. Hey, how are you guys? And I've learned to be comfortable with that. I'm comfortable being little Marky. It doesn't bother me at all. But I'll tell you what, as little Marky, I've got to follow somebody who knows where they're going or I'm lost. And you might be thinking this morning, I don't know what to do. Follow somebody who knows what they are. You know who that somebody is? It's Jesus Christ. He knows where he's going and he knows where he wants to take you. And if you will pull in behind him like a little duck with its mom, so cute. We have water next to our house, and every so often, certain time of the year, you'll see a mom with their little ducks. I saw like 14 of them the other day, and there's the mom, and they're so close, they look like one big long thing, kind of creepy for a minute, you know. And then one will get kind of lost and, you know, come back over. And I'm thinking, Lord, that's what I need to be right there, following my father wherever you turn, wherever you go. And you know what? I guarantee you, those ducks got to the destination that mama wanted them to be, didn't they? I don't know what's going to happen in my life. You follow close behind Jesus, you will get to the destination that God wants you to be. And you, my friend, will be a leader as a great follower. But you have to prioritize and allow God to do it. Are you willing to do that?
And just like that, another time at the table of God's Word has come to an end. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of Galatians, but you don't have to wait until then to listen to more great Bible studies. You can access this series plus much more at thewaymedia.net. Feel free to share these messages with anyone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. The book of Galatians touches on faith and works, while helping to bring a balanced perspective on the very real struggle between the two. Consider this a friendly reminder not to force your faith, just to prove you're doing the right thing. Simply accept God's grace, and through His kindness, your works will be rightly motivated. Say, do you live in the Knoxville area? If so, we invite you to join Pastor Mark and the staff at Calvary Knoxville for our next service. For over 20 years, it's been incredible to see how God has used us in our local community and through this radio outreach. There's always a seat for you, Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11:15. Sunday night at 6 or Wednesday night at 7. Can't make it in person? No worries. You can join us online. We stream our services through the Way Media app that you can download from your app store. or right from thewaymedia.net. You can scroll to the bottom of thewaymedia.net for a link to our church info, too. Pastor Mark has much more to share from the book of Galatians, so we hope you can join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.